Our scripture reading this morning will come from two different places. The first place will be from the book of Exodus, and the second place will be from the book of Revelation. Let us begin this morning by reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. And this morning we are looking at the lampstand, and there's a lot of things here, and this evening I'm going to approach the lampstand from a different angle in our evening teaching. But let us this morning look at the lampstand as it comes to us in Exodus 25 and the book of Revelation. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Make a lampstand of pure gold and hammer it out, base and shaft. Its flower-like cups, buds, and blossoms shall be of one piece with it. Six branches are to extend from the sides of the lampstand, three on one side and three on the other. Three cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms are to be on one branch, three on the next branch, and the same for all six branches extending from the lampstand. And on the lampstand there are to be four cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms. One bud shall be under the first pair of branches extending from the lampstand, a second bud under the second pair, and a third bud under the third pair, six branches in all. The buds and branches shall all be of one piece with the lampstand hammered out of pure gold. Then make it seven lamps and set them up on it so that they light the space in front of it. Its wick trimmers and trays are to be of pure gold. A talent of pure gold is to be used for the lampstand and all these accessories. See that you make them according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. And then I want to read from the book of Revelation, the last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21. And I want to read the verses 22 through 27 of that chapter and through verse 5 of chapter 22. Revelation 21, starting with verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and all the Lamb and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, and on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Thus the word of God as it comes to us from the book of Exodus and from Revelation. We are in the midst of learning about the building of the tabernacle of God. And you remember that we said at the beginning that the tabernacle is the dwelling place of God here upon this earth. It is the earthly representation of what God has in heaven. It is an earthly representation so the Israelites know that their God dwells with them here upon this earth. And as we have been learning about the different parts of this tabernacle, we have been looking about what it represents concerning the presence of God with his people. And last week we learned about the table of showbread, the table which represented the bread and the table, which is always set before the Lord amongst his people, so that they know that their God is so close to them, he is ready always for their next meal. He has a table set with the bread of his presence there, so that the priests may enter into that place each and every week and dine with God. That table represents the future dining with God that someday all believers will do in heaven. But now also in the holy place, we find what is called the lampstand of God, which is placed there within the tabernacle in the holy place. And there are two things about this lampstand that we are going to examine this morning. The first thing is how it was constructed and what it looked like. And the second thing is, what was its function? Let us first look at how this lampstand was constructed and what it was formed to look like. We read in verse 31 that God gives the instructions that they are to make a lampstand of pure gold and hammer it out, base and shaft. It is to have flower-like cups. Buds and blossoms shall be of one piece with it. Six branches are to extend from the sides of the lampstand, three on the one side and three on the other. Three cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms are to be on one branch, three on the next branch, and the same for all six branches extending from the lampstand. God is having the people build this lampstand in the shape of a tree. You notice that he specifically commands them to make this lampstand of one piece. They're not to make the different branches and then to attach them to it, but it is all to be of one piece, like a tree that is growing, that has branches growing from it. And it is not just any tree, but this lampstand is to represent the almond tree. The almond tree, as it tells us in verse 33, almond-shaped flowers, was the first tree to bloom in Israel. Each and every year after the winter time, the almond tree was the first tree to bloom and have buds and blossoms. It represented the renewing of life to the children of Israel. But this tree, this lampstand, which is to be shaped like a tree, is not to look like a dead tree. It's not like one of those trees that you see that when it dies, it stands there as a stick, looking very much dead. No, in verse 34 we read on that this lampstand, on it are to be four cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms. One bud shall be under the first pair of branches extending from the lampstand, a second bud under the second pair, and a third bud under the third pair, six branches in all. The buds and branches shall be of one piece with the lampstand hammered out of pure gold. This is to be built in such a way that it looks like it's alive, that it's blossoming, that it has buds and flowers upon it, that it looks like a healthy tree which is fruitful, which is strong, which is growing, which represents the life that God wants them to see through this lampstand that looks like a tree, an almond tree. But why? Why would God tell them to build a lampstand in the shape of an almond tree? What is the significance? Why is this so important? Well, the answer to that draws us back to the previous place of God's dwelling. As we go back in the Bible to the beginning of the Bible, we read of a previous place that God dwelt with his people. In Genesis 2, God created a garden. God had a garden called Eden in which Adam and Eve, our first parents, dwelled with God. And in that garden, in that sanctuary of God's presence here on earth, God planted a tree. Genesis 2, verse 9, we read that the Lord God made all kinds of trees growing out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. But in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God has planted within that garden many, many trees. And Adam and Eve can eat of many of those trees, including the tree of life, but they may not eat of the tree of knowledge and of good and evil. But there within that place, in that sanctuary, there is also a tree representing life, a tree which is fruitful and budding, a tree which looks very much alive and which gives God's grace to his people. And now as we come to this earthly tabernacle, once again God is making a place and having the Israelites build a place in which he will dwell on earth with his people. And as they enter into that place, they will see there a tree. A lampstand that looks like a tree. And each and every part of that tree will have lamps in it. On top of the branches, the fruit of that tree will be lamps. And lamps will give light. Look at verse 37. Then make it seven lamps, and set them up on it so that they light the space in front of it. Its wick trimmers and its trays are to be of pure gold. A talent of pure gold is to be used for the lampstand and all these accessories. See that you make them according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Not only does God tell them how to build this lampstand and what it is to look like, but this lampstand also has a function. Within the tabernacle, within the holy place, it is surrounded by curtains. It is dark within that place of God's dwelling. But God has them build a lampstand in that dark place. A lampstand that looks like a tree, a budding tree that is alive, that represents life. And the fruit of that tree is a lamp. And the lamp is the light of God. The seven lamps are upon the six branches and the center of the tree. They represent light, which represents God's presence with his people. Coming together in this lampstand, we see the themes of life and of light. In fact, so important is this lampstand for the children of Israel, that in chapter 27 of Exodus, verse 20, we read instructions for this lampstand. In the next chapter, verse 20, we read, in the next two chapters, verse 20, we read, command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light, so that the lamps may be kept burning. In the tent of meeting outside the curtain that is in front of the testimony, Aaron and his sons are to keep the lamps burning before the Lord from evening till morning. This is to be a lasting ordinance from among the Israelites for generations to come. The priests are to keep oil in the lampstand and the lampstand burning, because the lampstand represents God's presence with his people, God's creating light, God's blessing upon them. And that light must not go out, lest God's presence leave them. Well, as we read of this Old Testament tabernacle, and as we read of this lampstand, we must think about our own lives and our own lampstand. For where is our lampstand? Where is our light? Don't we wish we could go back to the Old Testament and see this lampstand shaped like a tree, burning brightly within the holy place, and know that God's presence is with us? We have something much, much greater. For in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, John brings both of these themes together. John instructs us and teaches us that God has sent something much greater than a lampstand for his New Testament people. In John chapter 1, verse starting at verse 1, we read these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus Christ himself is life. The Israelites saw the lampstand as it represented the tree of life, as it represented the life-giving power of God, budding and full of blossoms with the fruit of light. Jesus Christ comes into the world, and He is the truth and the life. In Him was life. And what was that life? John tells us that life was the light of men. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Jesus Christ, the light and life of the world, comes into the world and fulfills what the Old Testament lampstand was. He fulfills the life, for He alone has life-giving power. He alone shines brightly in a dark and dreary and sinful world. Later in John's Gospel, in chapter 8, verse 12, we are reading of the Feast of Tabernacles. Earlier in chapter 7, we read of Jesus in Jerusalem. And here, in Jerusalem, the Jews are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles was to represent the Old Testament journey that they took from the land of Egypt all the way to the land of Canaan. Once a year, the Israelites were to again live in tabernacles outside of their home to remember their journey, to remember the deliverance that God had given them. And each year, during the Feast of Tabernacles, they were to be reminded of the pillar of cloud that led them. The priests would bring outside over 50 large candlesticks and lamps that they would put outside of the temple into the courtyard. And there it would light up the entire city of Jerusalem. It is said that everyone would notice the bright, shining light which flowed from the temple on that particular day during that particular feast. And they would remember the pillar of cloud and God's presence that was with them. And in that context, in John chapter 8, verse 12, the Lord Jesus tells us this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The bright, shining lampstands that were in the temple, representing the pillar of cloud. The Lamb of God comes into the world, and He shines in that feast more brightly than anything else in the temple. For He is the light of the world, and those who see Him and recognize Him as the light of the world have the life-giving power that He brings. But we don't stop in the Gospel of John. For as I began this sermon, I also read to you from the book of Revelation. You see, what we know about Jesus as the light of the world is not something that was temporary back then in New Testament times. What we know of the light of Jesus is an eternal light with an eternal life-giving power. In Revelation 21, we read this, I did not see a temple in the city, says John, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. There's no need for a tabernacle on earth that we can go to and wish that we had a lampstand, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple that is already now in heaven. Verse 23, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the lamp, shines brightly in heaven eternally. What the Old Testament Israel had was a representation of what Jesus would later come to do. He brings life, and He is the light that shines brightly. And His light is in heaven, the eternal light forevermore. In heaven there is no darkness. There's no need for a sun or a moon. For the glory of God and the Lamb as its lamp shines brightly and beautiful forevermore. And what happens, verse 24? The nations will walk by this light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the book of life. Those who recognize that light, who belong to the Lamb's book of life, will never see darkness. No impurity or sin will be in that place, but God's bright shining light, the Lamb of God, will give them light forevermore. And notice what verse chapter 22 tells us next. In verse 2, that down on the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river, there stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and its Lamb will be in this city, and the servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. As the priest walked into that temple, or into the tabernacle, and he saw the lampstand, and the brilliance of the light that flowed from it, he walked in and that would be the first thing he would look at. And the bright shining light would draw him to glance and know the tree of life. The Lamb of God is the lamp. He shines brightly not only in heaven, but in the lives of his people here on this earth. And as we know the light as it flows from the Lamb, we also gaze on the tree of life and the life-giving power that comes from Jesus himself. We reflect not on an Old Testament tabernacle lamp. We reflect on the Lamb that is the lamp in heaven forevermore, that draws us to know and identify with that light and with that life. And so, what are we to do on this earth? Is that light only something for the future? Will we not ever see it here as the Israelites once had in the holy place and as the priests entered each and every week? In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, the Apostle Paul tells us these words in verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Christ's sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The eternal lamp stand that is in heaven, that is truly the Lamb, is reflected in the lives and in the hearts of God's people. They are the stars that shine brightly in a dark and sinful world. Their lives must reflect the glory of Christ and the glory of his bright, shining lamp. And there are those who do not see it, those who do not know why you are a Christian, why you decide to live for Christ. They don't recognize the light. But the believers who know Jesus reflect His light, the eternal lampstand, as they live in this world. They must demonstrate and know that as they live, they are the lights shining in the darkness. And they long to go and be with that place, in that place where there is no more darkness, but where they may live in His eternal light forevermore. Amen. Father in heaven, as we have gazed at the lampstand this morning, we see the power of the life and the light that You have given us. And, O God, we know that our Savior, who has risen from the dead, the Lamb of God, is the lamp that shines brightly in heaven. For He alone is glorious for what He has done on the cross. And He reflects Your glory, Your light. He has eliminated darkness by His resurrection power. And He gives life to all of His people. And, O God, as we who identify with Him and know the eternal life that He gives us, help us to shine brightly in this world that is still dark. For our lampstand is Jesus, and we live in this world to reflect His light, His glory, by the way we live and the things that we do, by our identification with Him in His death and resurrection, we too are glorified. As You created light and separated light from darkness, so You have separated us from darkness by Your saving power. And we pray, O God, that the lamp of Jesus may shine brightly in all of our lives forevermore. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.